Grace to you and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 6th of October. I'm your host, Paul White. Glad you're with me today. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We dealt with the rock that followed Israel. The rock was Christ. Let's deal with these Old Testament examples and why Paul uses this, beginning in verse 5. With most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things become our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, and don't become idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. That destroyed by the destroyer. Interesting use there by Paul, which tense seems to point back to the angel of death in Exodus. Now, all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition. And if we didn't have this next line, we might have reason to think that Paul is threatening Christians with death if they fail. But he says this, listen to verse 11 in its totality. Now, all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, our instruction, upon whom the end of the ages have come. So Paul has a timing behind what he's saying. Remember, we've been talking about this off and on over the last few weeks, particularly when we were in chapter 7, talking about the marriage vows and the sexuality stuff about if you're lusting, it's better to marry than to burn, and how Paul started talking about present distress back in 7:26, and the time is short in 7:29, and the form of the world is passing away in 7:31. Now you arrive in 10:11, and Paul says the end of the ages has come upon us. So these things are being spoken in light of the fact that Paul knows the end of the age they are living in is soon to happen. And the early church was functioning on the premise presented to them by Jesus that the temple was going to be left desolate, Israel was going to pay for the blood of the prophets, Moses and Elijah had been replaced, and that Jerusalem would soon be compassed about with armies. And the first century church, first generation church, knew that according to Jesus, that generation couldn't pass away until that stuff happened. So they kept reminding people of the end of an era. And so this idea that there were bad things in the immediate future that were going to happen in Israel is not some prophecy 1,000 years, 2,000 years, 10,000 years in the future of the Corinthian audience. It's something that they're facing in their day. And so Paul wants the Corinthian people ready. He wants them prepared because so many are not. So many have begun. This is my tone. The tone and tenor I get from Corinthians as we walk through this is, so much of the Corinthian church has drifted and become infatuated with some of the things going on around them, whether it's the temple prostitutes of chapter 6, idolatry is about to become a big issue in this 10th chapter, some of the meats offered to idols, this is a big, big deal apparently in the 8th chapter, and while Paul doesn't like a lot of it, you know, remember, you're a temple. Why would you sleep with that prostitute? Or chapter 8, yeah, you can eat the meat offered to idols. The idol's nothing, but if it makes your brother stumble, why would you do it? So Paul continues to go back to this idea of, look, I know there's stuff, you're freed from the law, but some of this stuff is so dangerous for you. And so to sort of bring the people who have this Jewish heritage back into thinking correctly, he starts to use these Old Testament examples. He doesn't say, this stuff's about to happen to you. He says, this stuff's about to happen to Israel. We're at the end of the age. we upon whom the end of the ages have come. They were written for our instruction. We're the ones that need to pay attention to this. Verse 12, therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Be prepared. I don't think that the early church completely understood all that the end of the age entailed, but they did remember that Jesus had told them to flee when they saw these things happening. So there was preparation going on to avoid this catastrophe by fleeing to the mountains of Judea. It's difficult to say with any certainty how much they understood, how much they had squared away theologically, but it is worth noting that they keep coming back to that theme. 13 says this, and this has been particularly powerful for me today in study. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God's faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with that temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. And when we talk about temptation in the context of the New Testament, we're talking about testings, and they don't have to be tests brought to you by the Lord. In fact, James says, don't say God does it. He doesn't. The life will test you. Life will throw stuff at you. We misquote this, and we say there'll never be anything put on you more than you can bear. That's not really what the text says. The text says you'll never go through a test that's unusual for humanity. Whatever you're going through has been gone through by someone else and will be gone through by someone else in the future. That's part of it. But God's faithful. He's not going to allow the test to be more than you could pass. And with the test, he'll show you how you can, and the word bear there is endure it. He'll show you how you can endure it. In other words, you're not going to go through anything that's bigger than your capacity to get through it. So get through it and trust the Holy Spirit. You know, just like what I talked to you about yesterday with our situation with the ministry and this, and I don't have any answer as to what we're going to have to do to clean up our own records for the last few years, make sure we've done everything right, which we thought we were doing everything right anyway and still believe we are. But no test that we go through is unusual. Others go through the same thing. Could have been avoided. It's not God teaching you a lesson, but you better learn a lesson while you're in it, and you need to know, and this has helped me. There's no thing you'll go through that the Holy Spirit doesn't show you how to endure it, how to escape the part of it that would kill you, and how to endure the part of it that will make you better. There's both an escape and an enduring in the 13th verse. There's a way of escape and there's a way of enduring. Some things you have to escape. Some things you don't need to escape. You're not going to get better. Some things you need to endure. And as you endure them, you're a better person on the other side. I hope you have a great day. God bless you. See you tomorrow.